Welcome to episode 11 of Breaking Espanol. Hola everyone, Jenny here with my husband Ben.
Hola.
Today we have a hostful for you with Ben and I catching you up on our week of learning. We started back up with lessons. Woohoo! I had my first Spanish playdate, and I drove down to the border and applied for my global entry pass, which is awesome. So let's get started with the show. ¿Cómo estás, Ben?
Bien, bien. I had a pretty good week. A few situations here that were interesting and trying to navigate with my Spanish. The first one was my first Spanish phone call, and I was able to actually try to make us a reservation for our upcoming trip. So we're going down to Valle. And I was trying to make reservation at this place, and in doing so, had to call down to this hotel and try to navigate that. And the whole deal was is that, you know, the guy doesn't speak English on the other end, so it was all in Spanish.
Well, first of all, how were you able to call down to Mexico? Because I feel like I couldn't do it from my phone, And I think I found out how to do it now. I asked a friend at work.
Yeah, you have to dial 011 and then the country code, which I think is 80. And then the phone number.
And so you were able to call from your cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it did take a couple tries, though, to remember, and I think I had to look it up.
And did he answer bueno or hola?
Bueno.
Bueno.
Yeah, and this was down in Baja. It's kind of in the Central Valley. There's a wine country, really popular, known as Valle de Guadalupe.
Yep, we're going to go down next week for our anniversary. We're going to stay kind of by Rosarito, just because there's all of August is wine festival month in Valle, which it's really gotten on the map for food and wine, and really busy in August, which we didn't know, but our anniversary is already in August.
So in fact, when the guy was talking to me, I was asking him, you know, about a room, and he said, I thought he said the price was double. What he was saying is they only had a double bed available. So like a room with two beds. And so it took us a few times. I thought, man, why is the price double? But anyways, in the end, it was quite expensive, so we decided against it. But
I feel like the price did end up being double.
I don't know if it was double. It was, he said, $450 for one night, and I thought that was pretty excessive, especially for, you know, Mexico. And I mean, it's a nice place, granted, but that's what I would expect in Napa or somewhere else. So, you know, considering we had other options, we ended up going a different route. But it was interesting, and I probably talked for a good 10-15 minutes. And I think he actually broke down and gave me the answer in English one time, but yeah, it was really, having to do that. And I think I've talked about it before, not having the body language there definitely makes it a bit more challenging.
Yeah. Talking over the phone is, you take away a lot of that in-person stuff that you get to rely on, but we did start up lessons. So I feel like we've really gotten to see how far we've come. It's been about a year without lessons, right?
Is it been a year? Yeah.
And we started up lessons with Lalo again, and it was great to be back. I felt so good being back in there because I could really tell my speed had gotten a lot better, which was something I really struggled with before. We used to do lessons about, I would say, 2 to 3 times a month. So we tried to go every week. Sometimes we delayed that week or whatever, but we were there quite a bit, and we would always talk for about an hour. We would do lessons, workbook type stuff, articles. And I felt slow. I always felt really slow. And I felt this time when we went in, even he commented and said, I sounded much better and I was faster, and it kind of rolled off better. And I feel like that's just been, you know, how much I've practiced throughout the week. Like, I really make it. And I have to thank, like, honestly, Jack for doing that, because he really pushed. You know, being able to raise him bilingual is what pushed me to kind of practice more. But I don't know, you kind of pushed us to go back to lessons.
Yeah, you know, I feel a lot like the lessons are going to help us advance in our fluency or level or whatever you want to say. And whereas here, just talking with people, we can speak well enough to communicate, to get the point across. And so we're not really pressed to need to learn more. You know, when you're first starting out, just getting your point across and being able to communicate is the goal. And then once you kind of reach that level, you really, depending on where you want to go with it, you don't need to go farther than that. That's far enough for a lot of people. But I thought, you know, we want to take it a little bit further. And obviously here with the podcast and everything, it kind of makes sense. So going back is going to help us work with Lalo because he obviously knows us very well, knows us where we're at, and can help guide us towards that next level. Whereas just talking with people that we meet or our friends and everything, it's not really going to progress. You know, if we moved to a different country and spent time in a Spanish-speaking country, we would naturally progress. But just around here, I feel like we've, hit a plateau. You know, that's functional, good enough. But getting to the next stage, I think we need some help. And that's where Lalo is going to be key.
Yeah, I agree. I think definitely, like, you can only get so far before you're ready to kind of go to the next step. And I don't know if I'd really consider us, like, advanced beginner, low intermediate, but that's kind of where we're hovering
right on
at.
The cusp.
Yeah, we're kind of hovering right there to where, and, you know, even in the future, we've talked about doing, like, group classes and stuff, and I think that's something we'll transition to as well. But it's just been nice getting back in there. And I had a lot of questions just about things I hit day to day that maybe just Googling or asking someone, or, you know, that I already know, it's not really answering those questions how I should use it. So it's nice to be in a classroom setting and be able to really ask.
Yeah, you
that.
Know you're working with an expert that's going to have the answer for you.
And break it down for you.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes even if someone says, oh, this is how you say it, I kind of nod my head. I say, thanks. I took it. But maybe I don't know why I say it that way. So, yeah, lessons have been great. I also had my first, I've been wanting to do this for a while. I had my first Spanish play date. So I met up with a mom who, she was so sweet, and she is learning English, so she's born and raised in Mexico, has a little girl about Jack's age, just a couple months older, and she really felt like, she had heard our podcast, and she really felt like our levels were the same, so her learning English and me learning Spanish, and so there was that barrier was already gone, that we weren't shy around each other, because we felt that mutual understanding, and we were able to meet up, and it's really nice to have the kids have that common, like, toys are the same name to them, commands, things like that. So she does all Spanish at home with her daughter, and then she finds ways to insert English with, you know, TV or books or things like that, whereas I feel like Jack is the opposite. We try as much at home to speak in Spanish, but obviously we rely on English, and he does all his music, games, books in Spanish. So it was so great. And I encourage a lot of moms and friends and people trying to raise their kids bilingual or even multilingual to get groups together that everyone's kind of on the same page and the kids can play in that same language or even just multiple languages, learning all that. So we'll definitely have more and I look to growing it too. What else did you have?
Well, I started using a new app. I finished Duolingo a while ago. And
are you done with Duolingo altogether?
I'm done with it for now.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
You're bored of it.
Well, I don't feel like I'm learning a ton with it. So for me, it just wasn't worth the time. But I am looking at another app called Memrise. And this one is not, I would say, not nearly as sophisticated as Duolingo, but it is just kind of memorization.
I thought this one was recommended for just vocab.
It's great for vocab. Yeah, that's a perfect case because it's just words. I've not come across where you need a sentence or anything like that. So it's not going to make you conversational. It's not even really going to teach you why things are the way they are. It's just going to reinforce things. And so in doing so, you know, it's been kind of nice because there are just those certain conjugations that are always problematic for me. And so it's been helping kind of reinforce some of those conjugations just by, you know, basically repetition.
I've kind of messed around with Memrise a little here and there. I think, like you said, it was just only really for a vocab and kind of just another alternative when you're kind of bored of maybe another app you're using.
Yeah, Duolingo is definitely more interesting, I would say. This one can become very monotonous very quick.
Yeah. I went down to, you sent me down to the border on this like wild goose chase trying to get my Sentry pass, which, if anyone doesn't know, now is the Sentry card just to here, just to local?
It's okay. Our border? So Sentry, S-E-N-T-R-I, is a almost like TSA pre-check for the border, and it's only for places where you can drive across the border from Mexico. So Arizona, Texas, and California. So beyond that, I don't think it applies anywhere else. And maybe what, New Mexico or something like that too. So any state that touches Mexico on the, has a southern border with them, you can get sentry. And basically it's like a TSA pre-check line when you're driving back. Or walking back, depending on where you're coming from.
Right, and we went down to Rosarito fairly recently, and we got to see kind of what the borderline is like. Whether you're, like, we've come back from the airport before we use the bridge that we've talked about. They've added a bridge now that is just for people going to the airport, which is not what we did this at this specific time. But we walked across, and it was a good hour, which I hear is kind of a good wait. And you're waiting an hour to get across. And then the last time we went down to Rosarito, we drove and we had our son with us. And it was about an hour, hour and a half, which again, what we were told was not very long. And we got up to the where the guy checked us and he's like, why don't you have your sentry card?
Yeah.
He said on a bad day, like on a Sunday or after a holiday weekend where a lot of people have gone down to Baja, because it is a big tourist destination spot. There's so many great things down in Baja. He said it could be as long as 6 hour wait. You know, that's 6 hours in your car hanging out there. So it's highly encouraged for people that are going down there often, people that are local residents or they see going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, even if not, it's $100 and you also get TSA pre-check with it. So I think it's worth it. I got my, it's called a global entry program, is what you enroll in, and then you add Sentry to it. And you get TSA pre-check at all the airports, and then really Global Entry gets you this kind of like a TSA pre-check line, the kind of a short, like a quick line at any
and
customs.
And it gets you Global Entry.
That's what I'm saying. Like Global Entry is the short line at any customs coming back into the United States. And you also get TSA pre-check in the United States, and then Sentry if you add it on, if you live in an area where you can add it. So it's totally worth it, I think, you know, even if you're not going to be going
yours.
A lot. Yeah, I had mine because I got it for the TSA pre-check thing. I don't know how many years ago.
You just clicked the extra box to get Sentry in.
Yeah, it literally was, I think it was $20 more. And
the problem is, if you are the only one in your family that has it, it's completely useless.
Right.
No one can go on the line with you. You see that short line and you're
stuck.
And
we have to add Jack, too.
Yeah, so I got down there and their website apparently didn't navigate well and... You were the one who set me down there to go get it. And
make culpa.
Yep. And we didn't need to get one for Jack was what we were told or what we read. And then I get down there and we also were told that my old passport was fine. And so anyways.
It was all wrong.
It was all wrong. I got down there way too early in the morning. Holy crap. It was so early. And it's literally one exit from Mexico. So you don't miss your exit. And I walked up to the guy. It's the same. They moved the Sentry office since you went.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's exactly where everyone's coming in from the border. So they're walking across and then people are picking them up, which I kind of felt like was not where I was supposed to be going because you're walking the opposite direction of all the traffic. Like all the people are walking towards you. And I walked up and there was a security guard or like an officer, a border patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up and I just said, you know, ¿cómo estás? And he said, bien, bien, y tú? And I said, bien. And I said, ¿dónde es la oficina de Sentry? Like, mm-hmm. I just was like, I said, para mi aplicación. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he said, un momento. And he ran inside. And then he came back out and he asked me when my appointment time was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I said like 7:30 or whatever 7:30 was. And he said, okay, come. And he said, hold on. And he went back and got me like all set up. But while I was outside waiting to go in, there was another Border Patrol officer that was with him. And he said, in English, he said, where are you from? And I said, San Diego. And he's like, oh, he goes, well, how do you know Spanish? And I literally have the biggest grin on my face. And I'm like, you think I know Spanish? Like, that was enough reassurance. Like, it would just, like, felt so good. Even if he was, you know, just lying. But I said, obviously I don't look Mexican. And he said, no, I mean, you know, no matter what part in Mexico, there's people that, you know, look like you and speak Spanish. I was just curious where you were from. So mm-hmm. I said, nope, just been studying for a year. So I got to use some Spanish down there and had my appointment super easy, other than the fact that all my information was mismatched and wrong from having a married name. So make sure all that is in order.
Yeah, if you're the tip for women going down that are married or recently got married, you should get your new passport with your new name.
Make sure everything is in line. And then as well as I'll take Jack back down there because it's basically pointless. Like for our anniversary, we'll go down just together. We'll be fine. You're conditionally approved. And then right after that, I'm completely approved. So I don't have to wait for my card for 3 weeks.
Would you say they were reasonable and what the solution was?
Yeah, I mean, the lady at the front, which, I mean, you run into this even at the DMV, you hit the first person and they, like, tell you, no, you're stupid, you made the wrong decision, like, we can't help you. And then she said, wait to meet with the officer, and you meet with a Border Patrol officer who kind of runs through everything. And that, he was so helpful. He was like, we will take
you. So they ended up approving you with your current name. That is on your passport, and then you just have to go get a name change afterwards.
Right. For multiple reasons, I didn't get a new passport right after we got married, which was 4 years ago. I know it sounds crazy now that I say it, that I didn't get a new passport, but...
Well, it's just one more thing you have to do.
It's one more thing you have to do, and I had no problems just booking our trips in my maiden name.
Yeah.
And you go to the airport, you show them your passport, you show them your plane ticket. I never had any issues. And so then, you know, here, obviously, I had an issue running into it. But, you know, you have your passport for so many years. It seemed kind of stupid to have to get a new passport. I think mine was only like 3 years old at the time. So, but yeah, I will be applying for a new passport. That being said, I can continue to use my current passport because they did just approve me with.
Right. With your maiden name.
Yeah. And then when I go down for Jack, I'll get him. It's, how cute is that going to be? A little 1-year-old passport. That is adorable.
I don't even know how you do that. Do they get a photo?
Yeah, totally. They'd get a photo.
Like a baby photo?
Yeah.
And is it good for 10 years?
You know, I'm not sure, actually.
I always laughed about that on a side note about in Arizona, how when you got your driver's license, it was good until you were 65 years old.
Right.
So you could 62, literally,
right? Or 60?
65.
Yeah.
You could literally be 16 years old, get your driver's license, and not get another ID for... you know, 40-some years.
Yeah, I think mine expired in 2048. Yeah. Like, literally, I got it in, like, early 2000, and it said, like, 2048. It seemed pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But...
Well, I had another one, too, which was interesting. I had went to the grocery store, and, of course, me being the extrovert I am, there was a lady in front of me, and she and the cashier were speaking in Spanish. And then in doing so, when I got up there, it was like, hey, I'm going to speak Spanish, too, of course, right? And so, but she sees me, a gringo, and says, you know, how are you? And I said, bien, ¿y tú? And then she just lights up and starts, you know, yammering at me in Spanish. And, you know, totally fine. We started chatting back and forth. And then she was, you know, saying, that's cool. Where are you from? Where are you learning? Blah, blah, blah. And I asked her, you know, where she's from. She said, de aquí, like she's from here in San Diego, but her parents are from Tijuana. And real common. And then she made a comment that the reason I bring this whole thing up is she said, yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I kind of want my daughter to learn Spanish, or I don't know. And I just kind of, I was so perplexed. I'm like, Spanish is your first language, and you're not sure if you're going to teach your kid Spanish. Like, she was really concerned that she wanted her daughter to know English. And for me, you know, and I don't know what's right or wrong here. I'm not trying to judge anybody, but I'm just saying I was surprised by that sentiment, you know,
because we feel the exact opposite.
Yeah. From our perspective, it's like, how could you not? But that's just, you know, difference of a vantage point, I guess, you know?
Yeah. And that mom I met up with, she said the same thing. She goes, I'm so worried she's not getting enough English. And I said, gosh, I think it's so amazing that you're able to speak Spanish with her so much and everyone around her speaks Spanish, and English will come, you know, and their English is all around, especially like we're lucky we have quite a bit of Spanish around here, but we still have to work at it. Like, to be around Spanish, we still have to make a pretty big effort to have it in their lives or whatever. And so I feel like, yeah, like, why not just speak every day? But it's interesting to see that from both sides, you know, you have those reservations. It's kind of that common fear that you both have, whether no matter what language you're speaking. So it's definitely, you can relate for sure.
So tell me about what you learned in class.
Well, one of the big ones, having a 1-year-old, I feel like everything is about commands. And there's a big difference between taking like a verb and just saying, you know, put that there and turning it into like, you put that there. There's, you can conjugate them to be commands. And so when we were with Lalo, I had him write down or help me kind of write down some of the most common commands I run into. So with that being...
Oh boy, sorry, Jack.
But it's like, he, you know, kids love that at this age. They love to help you put stuff in the trash. They love to help you. They love, you know, he likes to put, you know, wash his hands and things like that. But I think I was using them wrong. I was saying like, I think I was just saying like, what was I, what, poner? No. For Poner. Oh, Ponas. Okay, so I was saying like Ponas in La Basura, which is kind of somewhat correct.
Makes sense.
You put in the
trash.
But it's not a command. In Spanish, there's like those commands.
There's a kind of formal way.
Yeah. So one of the common ones I use with Jack is, you know, can you help me put this in the trash? And so I just say like ponlo in la basura. And ponlo is, it could be low or la, depending on what it is. So if it's a zapeta, if it's a diaper or pañal, whatever way you say diaper, then I would conjugate it to the object I'm holding. And it would be, so with zapeta, it'd be ponla. In La Basura, because I'm talking about the zapeta. So that's been a really helpful one, and I use that for anything. Like, put this in the sink, put this in the bath, put this in your dresser, whatever it is. And then just an easy one, ayudarme, will you help me, or help me, right? Ayudarme, like, help me put your arm through. And you can just literally say that, and he, you know, he kind of understands it. And then talking about him washing his hands, you know, Jack, can you wash your hands? Or Jack, wash your hands. It'd be, what is it? Lavate?
Lavate
is probably a better way to say it. Lavate las manos. And that's kind of a few of the main ones, the really...
Yeah, some of the ones that you got took away from that.
Yeah, some of the common ones I use a lot. Oh, another big one for me is if it's his body part or clothes. You know, like if it's something that he's putting on him, like la camisa or la cabeza, you say it with the la, not your, not su, you know.
Oh, right.
So I wouldn't say like, you know, put your shirt on, or here's your shirt, or where's your nose.
It's put the shirt.
Put the shirt. Yeah. Or touch the nose.
Right.
Which that's really different than in English. And, and
you use the direct... object pronoun.
Yeah, right? And I don't know if there's really a rule around it, but I do know from what we were talking about that it has to do with body parts and clothes on you.
Stuff that you were doing to yourself.
Yeah.
Like if you were saying, put the book somewhere else. But if you're saying, like,
where is your cat, you would say your. You wouldn't say, where is that cat? You could say your. It's like your object or whatever. So that was kind of a clarification for me. Did you have anything that you, this week you learned?
You know, I've got a few that came from class. One was agradecer, which is to be thankful for something, because we were asking about thank you cards, and we were saying cartas de gracias, which kind of makes sense, right? Like cards of thank you. But the right way to say it would be carta de agradecimiento, agradecimiento. So it's this idea of being thankful is different than saying thank you. And I thought that was a really interesting one because it's, I don't know, just new to me. Also from class, there was one así, like A-S-I, which means like that. Instead of saying like como esto or like como eso, like this, like that, you just say así, así, like that, like that. So it's kind of an interesting, I don't know, I wouldn't say slang, but there's all these like little words you use a lot, and that seems to be one that's coming up. And then one that I got from the app, and I need to get clarification on this. I believe I understand it, but I was even asking our nanny about it. So fue and estuve, or sorry, fui and estuve. So this is the past tense of to be, and fui is the past tense of ser, which is the permanent form of to be. So if you say soy Benjamin, that means I am Benjamin. But in the past, you could say like fui Benjamin, like I was Benjamin or something. And that's the permanent form. And I believe that translates to I went, not I was. Whereas estuve is the temporary one. And this really blew my mind because if I wanted to say I went swimming, it would be something like fue a nadar or fui a nadar. I went to swim. Whereas if I wanted to say I was swimming, I would say estuve nadando. And that would be the kind of present tense, or like you would use the present tense verb of that instead of the past tense verb. So the complication there between the permanent and the temporary versions of past tense kind of blew my mind. So that was between estuve and fui. So we'll have to figure that out more. I'm sure there's a whole world there, but I think both seem to be correct from the people I've been talking to about it.
I just use fui for everything.
That's what I'm saying. And you can do that, but you need to use
them. Because I always say, como fue, like, how was your weekend or something.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah. But then you have to use the other verbs correctly as well. So it kind of changes the conjugations later in the sentence.
That overuse of it.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to go a little bit deeper into, on a different episode, into Mexico and is it safe? Because I feel like it's something we run into a lot when I tell people we're going down there or I'm getting my Sentry card. I do still hear that. Why? Why would you do that? So it's definitely going to be in upcoming episodes. Like, we really want to break it down. Like, it's such a beautiful country, and especially close, like Baja. There's so much to see. And we have a lot of real accounts from people from living down there. And so it's, I think it will be a fun to kind of go into with whether it's safe, what about it isn't safe, kind of all of the mm-hmm. above. Mm-hmm. And so going down there next week, we're just going to kind of relax. We're going to hang out by the beach. And then we're going to head inland to Valle de Guadalupe, and we're going to go to some wine countries, hopefully hit up a couple. I'd like to even look into a couple of those tours. There's some fun ones from, I think, some local San Diego people that put on some, yeah. and you can get to a few. I mean, we always do that even up in Temecula. It's helpful to see more than one. Mm-hmm. And check out the food. I'm so excited about the food. There's some really amazing restaurants down there, like Finca. They have a bed and breakfast now. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, they have a bed and breakfast that you can host like more people.
Oh, isn't that where I called? I think that's where I called.
No, you called Encontra or whatever that place is called. Not Encontra, but it's something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this will probably be after the fact, but if you did follow our Instagram, you'll see some really fun pictures from when we go. But yeah, I think that's all for this week. Just a quick check-in, kind of us getting back into lessons was a big deal for us. Just more to advance with, and we'll catch you back here next week. All right. Thanks, guys.
Adios.
Ciao. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. You can find full show notes and images from today's episode at breakingespanol.com. We appreciate you listening and would love to see you back here again, so be sure to subscribe now. We have new episodes weekly. Thanks, and see you next time. Adios.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.